Session number 12418, reel 1.
Mr. Road 931, whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born at Putney.
In which year?
1905.
What did your father do for a living?
My father, at the time that I was born, my father was a serving sailor.
In the Royal Navy?
Yes.
Did you go to school in Putney?
I went to school, Brendale Road School, at Putney, and we lived almost opposite Wandsworth Park, where the River Thames runs beside, and we were not too far away from Fulham Football Ground.
Have you any memories of the First World War?
Only that I was, I was a youngster in the First World War, and I remember one Saturday morning, this was when we'd moved from Putney, we went to York Road, and of course my father had a business, a greengrocery business there, and I was out in the backyard, as we called them in those days, and I saw these aircraft coming over, and they were German aircraft that had come over. They didn't drop anything over my area. They were probably on their way home, but it was experience. And of course we used to have the air raid warnings even in the First World War. We used to go into the cellar, all the family used to congregate in the cellar, and of course I had quite a number of brothers and sisters at that time. In fact the total family strength of ours was 17 children, and there's nothing really I can envisage about the First World War.
What about food? Did you go short of food in the First World War?
Well, we had ration books similar to what you did in the Second World War. But, of course, my father being in business, one business assisted the other. So I'm not going to say... Mind you, we live well insofar as entirely different you do nowadays.
In what way?
Well, there was none of this processed food or anything like that, and Mother used to make suet puddings rolled in the cloths, and every morning we used to always have porridge for breakfast, which was made by my mother overnight, and each of us in turn were given the job to go down, clear the fire, light the fire, and ensure that the porridge did not scorch. Myself, I did not take part in that because I used to go to market, Borough Market, with my father. He used to drive me with the horse and cart, and we used to get to the hop exchange in the Borough Market. My father used to go and buy a couple of bags of greens. He used to put me on a tram, trams they were in those days, And it was a penny fare, old rate. And slowly but surely, I got to know the drivers. And we used to leave home at 4 o'clock in the morning. I used to, the driver used to say, "Where do you want to get off, son?" I used to tell him in between Ebner Street and Tonsley Hill. And he'd stop right at the tram, right outside my shop. And I'd take the greens off and thank him. And I walked straight indoors. And I now think, I've often thought about this, that I just walked indoors. I didn't have a key or anything to open the door. So it was entirely different to what it is nowadays. You wouldn't dare leave your door open, even though I did when you arrived. But I used to open the shop, go and call my brothers and sisters, and tell my mother that I'd arrived. And I used to do all the show. And now I look back, I never ever been in the shop, ever had breakfast with the remainder of my family. This is all right.
Yes. Was the York Road that you lived in near Waterloo, that York Road?
No, York Road near Wandsworth Station. That York Road actually went right to into London, the York Road, through Vauxhall. Yes, I realised what you were saying. Oh yes, it went right in through Battersea.
Do you remember the celebrations at the end of the First World War?
Oh yes, they had parties. We used to go to a party that they held in Ferrier Street, and of course there was all the bunting, and everybody congregated to get the food to ensure that there was something to eat, because rations were very short. But I don't think the celebrations went right into the evening, but of course at that time I was 13, yes, because I was born 1905, so I was 13, so I was more, but I had an elder brother, an elder sister, and the remainder of the children were younger than myself.
What? How old were you when you left school?
14.
Did you get a job?
No, I worked for my father in the shop.
How did you come to be in the army then?
I used to be a supporter of Chelsea Football Club, and on the Saturday Chelsea were playing Cardiff City in the Cup, and I asked my mother if I could go to see Chelsea play Cardiff, and she said, "No, you'll look after the shop." So then I told her that I had to people used to order stuff, and I used to take it to their homes. So I said, I've got to go to 16 Rosehill Road with 100 weight of potatoes. And so she said, "All right." And off I went, and instead of going to Rosehill Road, I went to see Chelsea beat Cardiff City in the Cup 2-0. When I came home, my mother said, "And where have you been?" I said, "I've been to see Chelsea play." She said, "I'm going to tell your father." So, of course, my father told me off. My father never used a strap to any of us boys. If we got into trouble, in the cellar, he had it all converted into a boxing ring. We had punch balls, everything, dumbbells and this, that and the other. And if there was an argument between the two boys, which was my brother Len and I. He was a year younger than I. He used to say, all right, down the cellar, put the gloves on, and fight it out. And he used to do the same to us. So he'd give you a hiding. He wouldn't hurt you, but he'd give you a good hiding so you knew, because he was featherweight champion in the Mediterranean Fleet, you know, boxing.
So you were saying how you got joined the army?
Well, on the Monday, I decided that life would never be what I call congenial. So I said to my father, well, I'm going to Whitehall this morning, Dad, join the army. I went to Whitehall, passed my examinations.
How old were you?
I was 17, but I said my age was 18. And it's rather peculiar, that, because that age remained with me a year over age, and through that I lost regimental quartermaster, because I left the army. I had to leave the army owing to reach the age limit as far as that was concerned. Therefore I lost the chance of being regular quartermaster, which meant I could have stayed on for a few more years. But still, that was that. And of course we got we were given ration allowance, or a mandatory allowance, for 3 days, and told to report to Whitehall on the Thursday morning. There were a matter of about 20 of us. We all proceeded to Guildford, where we were met by a sergeant and taken to Stoughton Barracks. And of course, Stoughton Barracks, when we entered it, we saw the lamb above the entrance, and I thought, oh, this must be a cavalry regiment. Of course, when I got inside, we realised that it wasn't. It was just because of the badge that gave us the impression that it was a cavalry regiment. And there I did my recruit training.
How did you get on with that?
Oh, I was made section commander. After you'd been there 2 or 3 days, the platoon sergeant used to designate 4 section commands. There was 4 sections in the platoon, and my platoon won the inter-platoon competition, which was for athletics, drill, shooting, and the various activities in which we took part, football as well. Well, in the final of the football, it was only 6 aside, I collided with the opposing chap, and finished up in hospital as I dislocated my knee. I was in hospital for 6 weeks, and of course we'd finished our training then. Therefore, when I came out of hospital and reported back to Stoughton Barracks, the platoon in which I was serving has already been posted to the 1st Battalion, who was stationed at Crankshaft Barracks in Dover. And which meant that I was transferred to the next platoon, but being a trained soldier, I was given a month's leave, and when I came back, I was posted as a waiter at a sergeant's mess. And I then actually joined the 1st Battalion at Crankshaft Barracks, Dover, with that platoon, which was in July of 1926.
When did you go abroad?
Well, I'll come to that. We were Dover until April 1927, and at this time there was the trouble in China. The Chinese were attacking all the British concessions, and the Shanghai Defence Force was formed in England, in which my battalion was one of, and so we left Grandshaft Barracks in May 1927 and proceeded to Hong Kong, where we disembarked. We were actually on HMT Nivasa, and of course normally on a troop ship there's married families, but we going abroad on active service, there were no families, therefore we were given the free run of the ship. Whilst I was at Dover, the it appeared on regimental orders that they wanted volunteers for the signal section. And of course, I volunteered, was posted to the signal section, which was in headquarter wing in those days, and I became a class hand. Well, I was still a class hand when we went abroad on the Nivasa. Therefore, I did not do regimental duties, which was guards or whatever it was, mess orderlies and this, that and the other, on the troop ship. On arrival in Hong Kong, headquarter wing was posted to Wellington Barracks, and the other companies were all posted to other areas. And when we arrived, the trouble in Shanghai had rather died down. So even though we were in the Shanghai Defence Force, we did not have to go on active service to Shanghai. So we finished, we did our training in Hong Kong, and after a time while we were in Hong Kong, we were transferred to the new territories. We went to, my battalion went to Hankow Barracks, and Hankow Hutments, I'm sorry, and opposite us was the Nanking Hutments, which was occupied by 2nd Battalion, the Scots Guards, which had gone out on the Shanghai Defence Force with my battalion. But they travelled on a different troop ship to my battalion. One thing that was very interesting to me when I was in Wellington Barrack was one day one of the chaps called to me and he said, "Bill, there's a Matlow wants to speak to you." And lo and behold, it was my brother who'd he was in the Navy. He joined the Navy before I joined the Army, and I knew that he was posted to the Far East. In fact, he was on HMS Kemp, which was the flagship of the squadron out there. And he used to visit me, and we used to go to Queen's Theatre, which was a cinema, and after we came out of there, and we used to go into the Queen's Cafe, which was next door, where I developed a taste for Knickerbocker Gloras. This is all right, sir.
Yes.
And my brother, he used to always on the table, there was these lump sugar. There was a quite an amount of lump sugar in the sugar basin, and he used to take his hat off, put the sugar in, and take it away. I said, what are you going to do with that? He said, I'll put it on the mess section. I said, in your hat? He said, well, that's all right. Well, that's just an aside.
How did you get on with the Chinese there? Did you see much of them?
Well, of course, in Hong Kong, the Chinese populace. Myself, I didn't have much to do with the Chinese people at all. I mean, training, you did not have that all that amount of spare time. But I believe the Chinese population were quite friendly to the British trousers there, because as well as us there, the battalion that was stationed there as a regular battalion was the 1st Battalion of Cosbys at the KOSBs, and they were situated in Victoria Barracks, which was on the peak. Now, the peak, halfway up the peak, there was a military hospital, and to get to it, there was a train that went there, and it was a wonderful sight there. We were there when the Chinese had one of their celebrations, where they have these, everybody dressed in dragons, and of course the troops watched it, and of course they came by Wellington Barracks, and of course we used to watch it from the veranda. My brother used to come ashore from the HMS Kent, come ashore by launch to where their depot was, which was HMS Tamar, which I believe is still situated in Hong Kong. But the happenings on the new territory where we were still standing there, even though through the Japanese occupation they were occupied by the Japanese, and they were still standing there until 3 years ago, because I met a chap who'd come home from the Air Force, and he told me that I'd mentioned all about these happenings, and I also said to him, I wonder if you went to where the rifle ranges were in the new territories and saw every regiment that was stationed there had their badges put on the hills, which they whitewashed. And I said, after the Japanese occupation, were those badges still there? He said, yes, the Japanese did not take them down, and the hutments were finally demolished a year after he came home, because he knew that the Air Force was stationed in these hutments.
How long were you in Hong Kong?
I was in Hong Kong for 1 year, 200 days. From there we went to Malta.
Was this in 28?
We went to Malta in 29, because we were there. We'd arrived in Hong Kong. We arrived in Malta. We were in Malta for almost 2 years. From Malta, which was quite an interesting place. From Malta, we were transferred. The battalion went to North China. Once again, we went back to China. First Hong Kong. This time, we were stationed in Tintin, which was a British concession. As well as the British, there was the Italians, the Germans, French, and Americans all had legations there, and therefore it was quite a military contingent. Whilst we were in Tintin, trouble broke out once again with the Chinese, and all the troops in the concessions were put on standby, but luckily they didn't interfere with the British troops.
Which years were you at Tintin?
Tintin, we were in Tintin from 1930, and the battalion left Tintin in November 1934. They were went to Quetta in.
Were the Chinese in Tientsin just as friendly as in Hong Kong?
Oh yes, the Chinese were quite friendly.
Did any of them say to you, "What are you doing in our country"?
No, well, I was a corporal then, and you didn't have anything to really do with them like that. But I don't think they said anything really about.
Were the troops happy there or discontented?
Oh yes, no, it was ever so congenial there. And of course, all the various troops settled together quite all right. The only troops with whom we did not get on with were the Italians. And there was the odd fracas in, because there were lots of nightclubs and various things in Hong Kong, in Tintin, and mind you, I was not connected to any of these fracas because people they have drink, and always seem to get into trouble just with the Italians.
Why was that? Why should they?
I don't know. I just cannot tell you why, but there was always trouble, and we'd hear about it in the corporal's mess next morning. And finally, I believe the commanding officer of the our battalion had finally met up with the commanding officer of the Italian, and in the end everything turned out to be all right. But while in Hong Kong, Tintin, when you went abroad in the army, after you've been abroad for 6 years or after 6 years, you could either be posted to the home establishment or take 6 months leave. Well, I did not want to go to the 2nd Battalion in England, so I applied for 6 months leave. Is that one?
Yes.
I proceeded home with a draft that was going home for